This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair. October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and it's an issue that continues to plague the nation, and Washtenaw County certainly no exception. We've been following the story of an Ypsilanti Township woman who is a survivor and has turned her experience into advocacy for other survivors and for changes in laws to better protect women from their abusers. Nicole Beverly's ex-husband not only went to jail for stalking her after restraining orders were put in place after years of abuse, from prison he tried to hire people to kill her and the children they share together. So even though he is in prison, there's never a day when Nicole Beverly isn't looking over her shoulder. Nicole, welcome back to WEMU.
Thank you for having me.
Since we last spoke, and for anyone who missed those conversations, they are available to you on our website at WEMU.org. It's been a busy time for you. Your story was featured on the ID channel as part of a series called Inside Evil. CNN host Chris Cuomo came to town. He helped tell your story in an episode called Till Death Do Us Part. The title alone gives us an idea of how bad the situation was. What was it like to watch that yourself, see the reenactments, and essentially live through it again?
It was a pretty amazing experience to see it unfold real time. I was living it, obviously, but to see the way they put it together, and they did such an incredible job, I think, of showing what myself, but other domestic violence survivors must go through the court process and fighting for their lives and their children's lives. They did an amazing job. The part that probably affected me the most was watching my kids be interviewed because I hadn't seen my oldest son's interview prior.
Right.
So that did hit me pretty hard, just, you know, listening to what he had to say about the situation and what he was experiencing.
I can only imagine. Now, earlier this week, Safe House Center in Washtenaw County held a screening of the show. Did it feel different to you watching with others and in a group situation and being present and seeing their reactions?
It was definitely interesting watching others. I did actually air the show at my school where I work as well, and to see the students' reactions. Some people, of course, got tearful. People were angry at times when, you know, they were seeing the kind of responses I was getting with the legal system and from different the defense attorney in particular. But it was definitely interesting to see the way others respond, but also how the empathy that I received after watching it.
That had to be somewhat heartening.
Absolutely.
Then you got an opportunity a week after a class at Eastern Michigan University, a social work class, had watched this same episode to go and speak with those female students. What was the feedback they gave you?
You know, it was fantastic feedback, but it also opened the door for a lot of conversation and questions that they had in terms of their future work if they do end up going into the field of domestic violence and working with victims and understanding, you know, the challenges that victims face, why they might go back to their abusers, what they face within the legal system to be able to move forward and leave. So it was a great opportunity. And for me, I do like the fact of having people watch my story before so we can have the conversations rather than me just telling it, because I think there's a value to actually seeing it happen and then being able to discuss it.
To use college-age vernacular, did you find that the students today are more woke to domestic violence issues than when you first started your advocacy work?
I think to a certain degree, people have more awareness about it, but I think the understanding of the cycle of abuse and how victims become victims is still a really difficult concept for people to understand until they've lived through it. So I think that's still an area that we really need to focus on, is helping people understand how someone can become a victim, because the victim blaming mentality still exists in so many ways, and we need to find ways to end that.
This is 89.1 WEMU, and we're talking with domestic abuse survivor and advocate Nicole Beverly. Part of the issue in your case was response times and the level of seriousness with which the responding officers had in the situation. But I know you have found allies in law enforcement. Are you starting to see those changes and improvements when it comes to domestic violence response and what the attitudes are?
I think, you know, we definitely do have some advocates in law enforcement now, and people are getting a better understanding of the impact that the way an officer responds to a domestic violence call can have on the victim. It can really make or break the fact of whether a victim is ever going to call for help again. And there was, as you know, we've discussed in the past, an incident where I did receive poor police response and basically questioning about my part in the role. And had I made that call earlier and gotten that response, I never would have called for help again. So I think there's a better understanding now, at least in our county, in terms of officers knowing that their response and the way they're interacting with victims is a huge part of what's going to happen to that person in the future.
I know that Sheriff Clayton and the Washtenaw County Sheriff's Office has been looking at this situation and how they can improve. And part of what they've been doing is conducting a lethality assessment. What exactly is that? And what is the department looking at specifically, to your understanding?
So to my understanding, we've had meetings where we're discussing the department beginning to utilize lethality assessments, which is basically an 11-question screening tool where officers would be able to ask a victim standardized questions that would be assessing their risk of being killed by their abuser. Some of those questions are about, have they been choked or strangled before by their partner? Do they have children in common? Is there alcohol use? Are there weapons in the home? And basically, based on the results of the test, an officer would be able to see how at risk this victim is to being murdered by their partner.
Assuming that the truth is being told, how many times did you lie about your situation before you were actually able to tell the truth?
Well, with officers responding, I never lied.
Okay. Well, that's certainly good to know. So if that assessment is taken, how is it then used to protect a victim or a survivor?
Well, it's basically a threefold process. Once the officers respond, conduct the assessment, they would then connect the victim to Safe House Center in our county. And Safe House would then follow up with the victim. Then ideally, the assessment is attached to the police report that would be going to the prosecutors when they're determining whether or not charges are going to be filed, and then also to the judge when they're deciding if bond or bail is going to be issued and how soon that person's going to be released.
Am I wrong in thinking that it still dislocates a woman and potentially her children as opposed to the abuser?
That's always a potential, but the hope is that if there's a standardized tool and things are being looked at very carefully in terms of the level of risk, that more can be done to help that victim. The other side of it and the benefits that they're seeing in other states that are doing this successfully, so Connecticut and Maryland are two that are seeing a huge reduction in homicide risk when they're using these tools with fidelity, is that the victim, when they're being asked these questions, is then forced to really look at herself or himself, if it's a male victim, and their risk of being killed by their abuser. And sometimes they then, once they understand, like I did, at the severity of the risk of myself being murdered, make the decision to leave.
Once again, our conversation with Nicole Beverly, a domestic violence advocate, continues on 89.1 WEMU. On the state level, you've been championing a couple of bills that, if turned into law, you believe will make a difference. What exactly would these bills do?
Well, there's Senate Bill 655-58, which is the Address Confidentiality Bill, which would allow victims in the state of Michigan to conceal their address from their abusers and make it much more difficult for them to be found. And that would also include their voter registration, their driver's license, their state licensing. Like for myself as a social worker, you know, I would need that piece of information concealed as well.
It seems almost like common sense. It seems like, why isn't that in place already?
Right. There are 36 other states that already have address confidentiality programs in place. We're a little behind the times in having a program established. And my understanding is at this point, this bill was introduced a year ago and it has passed Senate, but at this point, it has not yet gone to the House for vote. I know they're looking at budgeting, and I know a few of the House sessions have been canceled this month, is my understanding. So the bill is kind of on the back burner, unfortunately, at this time.
And we're approaching elections, which means following elections is the lame duck session. It's likely these measures are going to get to the end of the year without being enacted in any way or even potentially getting a full House hearing. So it will have to be introduced next year and ultimately go untouched this year. So how important are these upcoming midterm elections when it comes to domestic violence issues?
Well, they're very important. And, you know, aside from the Address Confidentiality Bill, there were six other bills that were introduced introduced last year, a year ago also, and those were House bills, 5247 through 5251, which were all introduced by the Progressive Women's Caucus. And we had a press conference, and we talked about these bills and how important they were to protect victims' employment so they're not fired. Like, I could have been fired so many times when my ex-husband was harassing me and I was missing work for court, protecting their housing. Those bills have not even made it
to committee.
Right. They're sitting on desks collecting dust at this point in time, and they're not moving forward. So the election is very important in terms of who is going to look at domestic violence and take this issue seriously enough to protect the victims in our state.
Well, we can look legislatively, and we can look within the nonprofit world for solutions, but there's also a responsibility upon everyone in the community. Coming up on October 27th, the University of Michigan Public Safety Department and Office of the Washtenaw County Prosecutor are sponsoring the annual Purple Run to raise money for Safe House. Are you going to be a participant?
I'm actually kicking it off.
There you go. That is, well, perfect. Great question. I'm very proud of myself. So everyone is invited to run, and if you can't run, you're invited to contribute and participate and take some ownership in this issue.
Absolutely. And I will be walking. I'm just putting that out there right now. I will be walking. But yeah, we would love to see as many people participate. But also, if you're not able to participate, to donate in any way that you can.
Nicole, may I ask you a personal question as our time together starts to run out?
Sure.
Throughout this interview and in the many arenas in which you appear, your name is almost preceded by domestic violence survivor. It's almost as if, in a public sense anyway, that is your identity. I know from our off-air conversations, there is so much more to who you are. How do you define Nicole Beverly?
Well, and that is a good question, and I people often in the community will be like, oh, you're the domestic violence lady, and that has kind of become, to the public, like you said, who I am. But yeah, at a much deeper level, I'm a parent, I'm a clinical social worker who loves her students and advocates for them on a daily basis. But I do have to take the time to separate myself at times from the role of domestic violence survivor, and hopefully people can look at me in other ways besides just that.
It is a heavy burden to carry, I would imagine.
It is, but it's a burden that I feel I'm blessed to carry because I'm still alive and I'm still here. And so many victims are not. And I've been keeping an eye on our toll for homicide in our state this year, and it's not looking good. And on average, 116 to 120 women are killed every year in our state. So it's a burden in some ways, but it's a blessing in others, because I feel like I have to tell my story and share with others to help them and help prevent them, especially our young people, from being in my shoes and ending up a victim.
I thank you for the work you do, and I thank you for being willing to share your story.
Thank you so much for having me and allowing me to do that.
Nicole Beverly of Ypsilanti Township, a domestic violence survivor and advocate, and so much more. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU HD1 Ypsilanti.